Welcome to another Carlin Loud Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, I recently have been reading about these fantasy dinner parties where you can invite anyone in history to a dinner party. Now, let's have an opportunity here to pick five people each. You go first. Who would your first guest be at a fantasy dinner party with a sporting connection?
Fantasy dinner party, you reckon?
Yes.
So these can be anyone?
Anyone.
Alive, dead?
Yes.
Somewhere in between?
Anyone in history? And
well, I'm going to invite, because this is topical for me, I would invite Craig Lowndes.
Okay.
All right, because I've always been a fan of car racing here in Australia, the touring cars and the V8s, and Lowndes's been my favourite driver for a very long time. Like, when I was we're similar age, he's a bit younger than me, but like, I remember him first coming into the sport and his success straight away. And just, you know, the way he sort of, I never met the guy, but he just seems like a really decent guy and he seems to be a fan favourite. He likes to spend time chatting with people. He always seems to be a happy person. But I love that bit when you see him get on the track and he's just like he's just such a great racer. And I'd really like to be able to talk to him about what he's done and who he is. And he's been around with people like Peter Brock and all those other greats of Australian racing. So I think he would be, from my point of view, it'd be good to sit down and have a chat and have a beer.
Interesting conversation, I reckon. Now, my first choice is going to be Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley, Indigenous tennis player. She was number one in the world. She won something like 14 Grand Slams, which included Wimbledon 1971 as a young Yvonne Goolagong. And after she got married and became Cawley, and she won again in 1980. She won the French, the Australian, all over the world. She was really successful, and she was an inspiration for a lot of people. I mean, 1967 was when Aboriginal first got to vote and become real citizens of Australia. So she was one person that really stood out at the time and always struck me as a lovely person.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And as a child growing up, she was certainly someone that we saw a lot of on TV, and she just seemed to have that really great personality. Seemed, again, very sweet, but very, when competition-wise, she was a great competitor and really iconic Australian female athlete. I mean, think she would be a household name. And so, and that's interesting because we talk today about inequality in sport between men and women, but probably when you start thinking about famous sporting females, you really think about tennis because for a long time they have been part of our lives.
Well, you know, as a youngster growing up, you know, I knew the other tennis players, John Newcomb. I mean, he was pretty good with his moustache, and you know, I liked Borg and you know, all those types. But Yvonne Goolagong was probably the first tennis player to grab my attention as someone to look up to.
Yeah, I think that's a great choice.
Well, what's your second choice, Matt?
Hulk Hogan.
A wrestler?
Yes.
Ah.
Now, I know we're blurring the lines between sports and entertainment here, but when I was growing up, again, watching Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan and others, like I didn't know it wasn't real back then. And so I used to watch the wrestling on Channel 10. I loved it. WWF, it's no longer that, it's WWE. But he's such a great entertainer. Well, I'd love to. And, you know, it'd be, again, wouldn't he have great stories? I mean, you imagine the life of a wrestler would be an interesting one with a lot of interesting people. And he really made it to the top of the wrestling game. And then he, gone with his great acting skills and so on, reality TV.
He was, funny enough, recently I went to see a film, Creed 2, which is a continuation of the Rocky saga. And, of course, Hulk Hogan, he was in Rocky 3.
He was. What was his name? Hot Lips something or other.
I don't know.
And I used to love it because you knew the scene. You knew what was going to happen. He'd come out on fire and he'd be winning and then all of a sudden he'd start to lose and, you know, think, oh, my God, the Hulkster's going to lose. And then he'd be on the ground and then he'd be in some type of hold and the crowd would go crazy and you'd see, like, one arm come up and then he'd start to tremble and up he would get and then he'd just go berserk again and finish off with that big boot in the guy's face and even though you knew what was going to happen, it was still exciting.
I understand. Now, we cannot go past this next guy. He was voted the number one athlete of the 20th century, and that's Muhammad Ali. Now, He was such a figure in politics and sports, in fact, and he won something like 56 of 61 fights, including 37 by knockout. And I'll never forget, he got Parkinson's later in life, and I remember I was at the MCG for one of the Crows grand finals. I think it was 98 when they played North Melbourne, and he went around in a motorcade. And I've never forgotten that. He just stood out as someone larger than life. And his record is just an absolute inspiration, the way he sort of like said, I'm the greatest, and he proved it.
Yeah, I mean, he would have a very interesting story. And similar, he sort of at the Olympics in
1960
Atlanta. Oh. No, Atlanta, he actually lit the torch.
The cauldron.
With the and it was amazing because he came out, and there's an athlete full of obviously people watching, spectators, but also the world's greatest athlete. And the noise and the applause that and he got from all of those people was amazing. But, you know, again, he's almost like the first athlete to transcend into the public figure, you know, like to really be that. Because, again, now we think of like athletes all the time. They're in the public eye, they're in the media. But and think with the civil rights, like conscription in war, like he had so many different opinions and he just stood up to, you know, he did what he believed in and he really won the public over.
What was that famous saying? Dance like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Yeah.
And when you said Olympics, I thought, of course, he won 1960.
That's his play.
Yeah, yeah, 1960 Olympic gold medal for light heavyweight. So, yeah, very good, very good. I would love to sit down and listen to him for an hour or two or three.
And it'd be interesting comparing his story, what he had to go through in America with civil rights, and also Yvonne Goolagong here in Australia.
Yep.
Some similarities and differences.
Absolutely. And for your next guest?
I would have to have Michael Jordan.
Oh, of course.
Because, you know, I'm involved in basketball. My kids have been involved in basketball, and even though I would never be a basketballer.
I've seen you play.
Very badly. But, you know, again, he is probably, in terms of, you think Muhammad Ali in a certain time of our world, and then now Michael Jordan, isn't he? He's certainly, everyone loves to argue, is he the greatest basketballer ever? But he would be up there in the list of greatest athletes ever. But again, just to talk to him from where he came from, the what, you know, and we all know his story. But again, for him to be there and have a chat to him and see what's he up to now.
Well,
interesting.
Last I heard, I think he owns some basketball organisation. But
and you would love it too, because you guys could talk baseball over in the corner.
Of course, because the interesting thing about Jordan is he played in those three championships with Chicago Bulls. And then after his father died, he honoured his father by going back to baseball. And he actually played minor league baseball. He actually bought the team the bus for them to travel around in and everything. And he actually returned to basketball and played in another three championships with the Bulls. That's incredible.
Yeah, and he's such a clutch player, wasn't he? Like, I mean, that person, though, that, you know, he wanted the ball. You know, in those situations when games had to be won, he wanted the ball. He knew that he could make it happen.
Well, the thing is, look, as a child growing up, I played a bit of basketball and I enjoyed playing the game, but I didn't really enjoy watching it so much. Larry Bird and Magic Johnson were two of the guys I enjoyed watching, but it was Michael Jordan that actually had me glued to the screen watching basketball because he was just a magician.
Well, he sort of the game was changing, wasn't it? But he was sort of almost a new type of player, what he could do, shooting outside, taking the ball to the, and of course, the airtime, because Air Jordan is the name. So, he sort of changed the game to be very, very different.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, I'm going to chuck in a baseball one, and you would have probably guessed Babe Ruth, but
I would have.
Yeah.
You're going to surprise me.
Yeah, I want to go with a guy called Sid Smith. Now, no one's probably heard of Sid Smith, but as a baseball historian, in 1897, two South Australians toured America with the Australian baseball team, and one of them was Sid Smith. And his story is very interesting, and it was helped by the fact he wrote a diary on the tour. He stayed in England and got married in England. He didn't come back to Australia until 1912. And obviously he played for South Australia. His son played for South Australia. His grandson played for South Australia in baseball. His great-grandson and his great-great-grandson. So five generations played state baseball. So in all my research of Australian baseball, he's one figure that keeps sort of appealing to me, and I would love to hear his story.
Sid Smith.
Okay. He's in the Australian Baseball Hall of Fame, and I know his grandson quite well, and he's just a fantastic figure in Australia, probably along the lines of Joe Darling from that period for cricket, who was one of my heroes for cricket of that period.
Oh, that's interesting. Very good. Closer to home, yeah.
Yeah. Now, who's your next guest?
Well, I've got two, and so I'm going to go with Anna Mears.
Yep.
Because I really, again, she's been around. I mean, I know she's retired now, but again, I think from the cycling world, and just like her story, again, she had a bad accident and her recovery and coming back. And I guess every time I've heard, I've never met Anna Mears, but every time I've heard her speak, she just seems so inspirational. And again, it'd be nice just to spend some time and chat and see what she, you know, and talk to her about her story. And isn't having all those people around, you need a big table, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
What would you serve? What sort of food would you think we'd have?
It would have to be top quality.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We could get some nice wine from the Barossa. And
well, actually, I wouldn't give them a lot to eat because I'd want to hear them talk.
Yeah.
So it's something light, so it's easy for them to talk, I would suggest.
But no, Anna Mears, I think, again,
she's done a lot for cycling, hasn't she?
She has. And, like, again, just for women's sport, I think, in Australia, like she, and I think across all sports, but she certainly seems to me to be a real inspiration.
And didn't she break her neck? Or
she did.
Yeah, and she came back.
I love those types of, because, you know, like, again, people think that athletes at that top level, it sort of comes easy to them. Of course, they aren't. It's not. Nothing at the any top level of any area comes easy to people. But when those sort of things happen, and then to fight your way back to achieve what she did is, again, amazing, amazing story.
Now, I'm quite shocked that you haven't sort of mentioned anyone from athletics, but I'm going to mention someone.
Are you?
Yes.
I've got my last one is from athletics.
Well, I've beaten you to the punch.
I've got the same one.
Andrew Lloyd.
Of course, you like. Are you? Have you set up a fan club for Andrew Lloyd?
No.
I mean,
no.
He's a good bloke.
He is. We had him as a guest, and of course, he had the tragic car accident where his wife died before, a couple of years before the 1990 Commonwealth Games. But I have never forgotten what he did in that 5,000 to win the gold medal, coming from, I like to think it was a couple of laps behind, but you know, it was 100, 150 metres behind with two laps to go. He was still 70, 80 metres behind with something like about 300 metres, and the way he came home and won that, I've never forgotten it, ever. Just
it's
fantastic.
It's hard to forget, isn't it? It's not something you're going to forget, and as we mentioned when we had the interview, I was there that day, obviously over there competing, and then I'd finished, and so watching, and again, it was the noise of the crowd was unbelievable, because they could actually sense and see what was happening, and of course, you're in New Zealand, so New Zealanders sort of have a love-hate relationship with Australians, don't they? But people could just see things unfolding, and you could almost taste it. It was fabulous. And then after, when he did his lap of honour, that was something, yeah.
Well, just wonderful. That interview that we did with Andrew Lloyd, and the one we did with Kurt Wedberg, the guy that sort of conquered Everest three times, that's my two favourite interviews we've ever done.
Yeah, I love talking to Kurt. I'd love to. Hopefully, we can get to speak to him again.
Now
I should have him, but anyway,
he
said if he comes to Adelaide, we'll take him up to Mount Lofty.
Now, you said you got an athlete for your final one. Who's that?
Kathy Freeman.
Oh, of course, of course.
How could you not bring Kathy Freeman?
Well, she was on my list of 4,000 people I had, but I suppose these others won out.
Isn't that like, there's still that picture of her. I mean, I wasn't at Sydney Olympics, but watching it on TV like a lot of other people. But again, lighting the cauldron with the torch, that was fabulous.
It was.
Yeah, that cauldron was unbelievable.
You know, and in winning the 400-metre gold medal, the way she won it was just absolutely awe-inspiring. There was two events that particular Olympics that stood out, that and Kieran Perkins winning the 1500. Those two will live with us forever.
And just the outfit, you know, remember that full-body outfit covered, the head covered, and like the way, I mean, again, I don't want to, you know, big note, but I remember meeting Kathy when she was a young girl, and, you know, obviously we were slightly different times, but I think that she was a young girl at the time, all of that pressure on her to win, and she just ran beautifully. And she was such a great runner, wasn't she?
She was
so fluent. I loved to watch her run.
Now, there's so many other people I would have loved to invite, like Pelé for soccer and Don Bradman for cricket and all these. They're superstars. But I've picked one out of left field. Someone you would never believe that I picked this guy out for my final guest. It's actually Bruce Lee, who was very famous for those films, but of course he invented
Wing Chun. Well, you didn't invent
Chi Kung Do, which is a form of kung fu style, is what he invented, and of course he's nunchuckers, and he was just I just was awe-inspiring watching someone from Hong Kong on the television. Remember that sometimes I remember watching Shintaro as a kid, and all the lits weren't in sync with the words and everything, but Bruce Lee sort of actually was a star in American shows. He was on the Green Hornet.
That's right, yeah.
And some of those movies, just Enter the Dragon was probably my favourite.
Well, there's been some great movies now about his life, because there's still mystery about his life and, of course, how he died as well, which is... But martial arts sort of has, there's that sort of mystical part to it, isn't it? But, you know, again, reading stuff about him, seeing documentaries, watching movies, obviously he was a very, very driven, serious man that had a desire to do what he did and made things happen. But yeah, he was certainly, again, a very iconic figure in martial arts, but in the movie world.
Well, thank you, Sean. This has been very entertaining, this show.
Now after, hungry for knowledge.
Absolutely. So ends.
Fancy dinner party, eh?
So ends another Carl and Lay Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carl.